audience.
Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church
with Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 John. Amen. And we were covering, I think, on the subject of marriage, and we covered the other night, we were talking about, amen, the love of God. Amen. Marriages. And I'm just recap and what we were saying, how, amen, the scripture said, husband love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I'll start off with just some fundamental aspects of the marriage, because we used to do marriage seminars, you know, on Sunday evening, and people would come to give people foundational things on marriage, because a lot of people would get married. And this is not just about marriage for married people. This is the subject of marriage for singles and married people. Especially if you're single, not married, you want to know about this. You have people who are single, never been married. We have single people who've been married one time. We have single people who've been married two times. Single people who've been married three times. Then we have single people who've never been married. Then we have married couples. Amen. Amen. And so all aspects of this are important to understand. So because our marriage is based on the love of God. Now, in saying this nowadays, premarital, I know I'm going fast. I'm going fast, but I learned it slow. So it'll be on the tape. You can hear it over again. Are you with me? And I shared how God invented marriage. He ordained marriage for the body of Christ. Okay, so the assumption or presumption is that you're supposed to be saved when you're married. Because it's based upon a set of functioning rules that a saved person would know. Why the scripture says, husband love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That'd be written to a saved person. An unsaved person wouldn't know how Christ loved the church and gave himself. Say, and gave himself. All right, and it's primarily written, and I told you before, the Bible is written in a slant to men. God holds men accountable. Okay, God holds men accountable. And then it says, wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Amen. Submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So it's presuming that the woman knows how she submitted herself unto the Lord, and she understands what that terminology means. Are you following me? Now, I'm recapping from something that's on tape from Thursday, on Wednesday. That's why I'm going fast. So there should be an understanding of giving yourself as Christ loved the church, which should be an understanding of Christ. Amen? Being born again. It's written for born again people. And the same thing with the woman. Both of them are supposed to be saved. Now, there's some demand in close quarters with husbands and wives, and there's some real good, cute, practical things we're going to get to, but I'm going to give you the hard part so you'll be grounded on the seriousness of how to deal in close quarters as it relates to a marriage relationship. Now, understanding over in John chapter 3, and I kind of bounce around there a little bit. I'll give you a few, 1 John, not Big John, 1 John, amen, and it relates to the love of God. It says, now, a Christian, there are people... We found a guy, he'll want to marry a girl or a young woman, wife. He'll go to church 6 months just so he can marry her. And he'll fake salvation, or he'll get saved and he'll baby. He's saved, but he'll baby. He hadn't grown. He hadn't matured in the thing. He don't know nothing about in there except he's not a sinner anymore. All right, so there's a maturity required. Can you say amen? All right, so here it tells us in the love of God. I'm going to begin. It says in chapter 3, I want to welcome the Facebook people and also the people listening to our broadcast on Sunday afternoon at 5:30. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Come be a part of regular services. Amen. Yeah, get your life changed. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, okay? Then also I skip down, go over Look at verse number 15. I said, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer shall inherit eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Underline that. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, Jesus, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, even in the early stages, amen, as a Christian, you're learning the unselfish aspect, of the love of God. This is the agape love, amen. Now, you have in the love of God, you have agape love, you have eros love, you have phileo love, which is friendship love, and then you have storge love, which is relationship, amen. People have relatives they don't speak to, but they'll fight you over them. They don't speak to them, they don't visit them, but somebody else bothers with them, they'll fight you over them. That's storge love. You do love them because they're related to you. They're tied to the fact that there's an existing relationship that you didn't create. You didn't pick your brother and your sister, are you with me? But they are your brothers and sisters, and you love them based on the fact they're your brothers and sisters itself, okay? That's storge love. Now, many people get married based on eros love, romantic. You know, baby, you pretty, you fine. I love the way you talk, your voice. Amen. Just got to have it, you know. That ain't strong enough. That temple. Mighty quiet. So that's eros. That's romantic love. Romantic love is good. It should be a part of it. Then there's phileo love, which is friendship love. And now this is the thing you develop as a believer. You ought to be the believer. You ought to be friendly. He that has friends must show himself friendly. Amen. You shouldn't marry anybody y'all not friends. Friendship love should exist between you because you should have been dealing as friends before dealing as lovers. You know, I would go to lunch with you, but I just don't like, can't talk to you that long. What? I love him, but I can't stand him. No, y'all shouldn't get married. Don't look around. Y'all will give you the rules. The rules. If you married, you in here, just keep looking straight, you know. Because I might hit one of your discussions. Amen. So, in any case, so the agape love is the unconditional love. This is just one aspect of it. It says, whosoever hated his brother. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also lay down the life for the brother. But whoso hath this, read verse 17 with me. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Are you with me? Now these are fundamental aspects of practicing the love of God outside of the marriage relationship. This is measuring the love of God in you as a believer. Like you go on missionary trips, you do missions work, you help people that's in need. You know, in other words, this is what you got from God. That's part of the cause. You saved, this becomes part of being saved, amen. Your love for somebody other than you or somebody who's just related to you, amen. Your love for the brethren, amen. So, and so then it says about had this world's good. My little, now keep in mind, remember I told you about God had raised up somebody somewhere, you know, bless your life. It's all based on this scripture. There are people, they love God, they've been blessed, and they bless other people. Amen. But then the word says, let's go down a little bit further. It says, verse number 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. All right? Okay, now, this is referencing our interaction with God. Now, what does it have to do with marriage? It has a lot to do with marriage. Now, let's say if you're a wife, about the husband, it says, you know, he'll find the wife. He that find the wife find what? A good thing. That means, who looking? He the one looking. We don't look it based on God. Are you with me? He that findeth the wife findeth a good thing. So who's that looking, a man or a woman? He said, amen. Find the wife. See, in the Bible, the interpretation is the assumption that the wife is a woman. Are you with me? Not a man you call your wife, it's a woman. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to hear the LGBT for you this morning. I'm going to double back because I had to give you the 411 on that. God has already, all this stuff you see, God has already spoken. He'll tell you where it comes from. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. A thought came to me a couple of days ago. Maybe it was just for me to know, but you know, since I'm talking about telling, so. But no, it was like the scripture was saying that the people, that mankind, prior to God giving them the law, was uncivilized. What? I think uncivilized? What do you mean people without God are uncivilized? Mm-hmm. That's why the law had to be given to tell man, here's what you do. You don't have sex with your mama and your kids. It's a whole list of stuff that you don't do that you wonder over Leviticus, that why would somebody have to tell you this? Because man, apart from God, is uncivilized. He doesn't know right from wrong. He know what his flesh tell him. Like the scripture says, it said, you are of your father, the devil, and his will you will do. Well, you say, you're going to thank God for being saved. Amen. Yeah. Now, you know, they say, that's what our Christians talk about, other people uncivilized. Well, I kind of put that, I don't have a scripture to say, man, uncivilized. But if you read it, say, well, they sacrificed their babies, they threw them in the fire from worship. And God had to tell these people in the Old Testament, don't connect with these people. And he said, matter of fact, when y'all get there, kill all of them. That's some old in the Old Testament. God said, no, you can't do stuff with them. You can't marry them. You can't do this. And so Israel was segregated from these people because God had given them the law. Now, if you were not of Israel, you came among them and got the law, then you'd be all right. But I'm going on. That's a whole message altogether. Can you say amen? What do you mean you have to tell somebody that? Mm-hmm. See, you've been saved. You're in a country where Christianity is so popular, these people think they're saved, not even saved, because they grew up around a Christian value system. You know, there's certain things, you know, mama tell you, you don't date your cousin and all kind of stuff like that. You think she's just telling you because she don't want you to do it. No, all this stuff from the Bible. She said, you wasn't going to church. You're trying to go by what you heard, but it's a scripture and verse on there on the law. The way God revealed it. Can you say amen? Now that's another story. So let's get back to marriage. So I talked about the love of God, the agape love, the unconditional love, and we love by the love of God. Amen. Amen. We have the agape love. Now I just have a few points I want to give to you, but this agape love, what I found is that maybe 90% of people married had not had proper premarital counseling. In other words, it's not that they didn't have the counseling, which was a fact. It's that they had not been examined theologically to determine if they were biblically ready for marriage according to the Bible. Not according to I love her, we get along good, and you know, I got a job. No, I ain't talking about none of that stuff. All that changed. Folks lose a job. They lose a job overnight. Now what? Well, you're basing your relationship on superficial things. So when you examine, a lot of people don't want to be examined. You got to check me, man. You got to check me. I got this. Okay, I know it. I know you got it. You're going to have it 5 years from now, too. But what I'm saying is, under pressure, life's pressures, you don't know how people are going to respond. They're not under the pressure when they're hugging and kissing on you. Ain't no pressure on that. But to get you to marry them. Now, and I'll tell you this. I might say something, you get stuck on it. Well, come on, don't get stuck. Look at the tape. When I say the Bible is written from the perspective of male accountability, from male accountability. So it holds the man accountable. He's accountable for his home. Is it a God, man, wife? You have what's called an order of the home. Okay, so the order is to be honored. It's to be honored because the blessings are going to flow in that order. Husband, head, and wife. You know, amen. Then the children. If you rebel against your husband, your children are going to rebel against you. The man, you rebel against God, your wife going to rebel against you. Everything is sowing and reaping. That's right. If you ignore God, there's consequences to that. Amen. You're going to trigger that in your life. Because it's a sowing and reaping. God cannot be ignored. You can't diss God. Amen. Stand in front of people. And I remember one time in a marriage I didn't do. Amen. I said, you know, y'all wonderful people, but I will have nothing to do with y'all marriage. No, very professional. I said, I have nothing to do with that. Because you don't want to marry her. And you're about to stand up there in front of the altar, and you already said you didn't want to marry. You told me. And you think I'm going to stand there with you lying to me? You lying. I mean, that's not to me, because it's before God. So I know you lying. I'm not going to be involved in that. Are you with me? So that's what premarital counseling is, to the scrutiny of the questions that someone who's not, you know, you shouldn't know betting and gambling thing. Well, you know, I just so happy y'all married. No, I don't care whether y'all married or not, because it's going to be some accountability and responsibility to come with this. There had to be preparation, some preparation, and you and the woman, you didn't know God is in this preparation that this man is utilizing, and so is she. And you won't know everything right away, are you following me? But at least you'll know what the map looked like. Let it go out. People do anything to marry you when they want you bad enough. That's male and female. But see, you're in the house of God. God wants you to know the information. Amen? So anyway, what I want to share with you is like, because I'm going to jump over, I got this point, so I'm going to keep the service on. So there are a number of things that are necessary, but the key is one, developing agape love, developing friendship love. Amen. Like you dating somebody, you know. Y'all be developing your friendship, you know. Talk to the person, you know, that you enjoy talking with them and going to dinner or whatever the case may be. Are you with me? So those things are crucial. Know you're able to get along with the person, develop friendship, that you're a good friend. You know, why would you marry somebody they're not friendly and they mean? Why would you marry them? You think you're going to change them? And that's called missionary dating. Man, I haven't said that in a long time. I've been a long time. Don't seem like a long time. Missionary dating. That means I'm going to marry him, and I know just what to do. Change him. I'm going to fix him. He's going to be all right. No, you're not. That's called missionary dating. Once I get him, I got it from there. And usually the missionary dating is usually done by the woman. You know, she can see his potential. You can see his potential. In other words, you marry him based on the potential that you see that is yet to manifest due to his position that he's chosen not to move from. Oh, that's okay. He'll go to church once we get here. He'll be all right. No, he won't. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do missionary dating. Let him finish. Let him go to church. Let him get into class and let him learn the stuff. Amen. You are worth it. You'll be married for a long time. So that's called missionary dating. You figuring how you're going to change. Women are good at changing people. Oh, yeah, I can change them. A couple of these kisses, he going to. He don't know the kind of influence going to be on him. I'll let that soak in for a minute. Oh, he don't stand a chance. Amen. He going to change and be glad to do it. Uh-huh. That's what you think. Amen. Wake up. You wake up and that Dracula in the house with you. Dracula, what you mean? He come out that casket. He dead in sin and trespasses in sin. And you start seeing a side of him you didn't know was there. That was hidden. Can you say amen? But let's go on. So what we're saying is you got to know that he'll save when he gets saved, you know, and developing the word of God and knowing when it says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But let me move quickly from this. The reason I want to give it like this and I do a seminar is for the woman so you'll know how to use your faith to be found. Are you with me? And if you're using your faith to be found, you need to document what Mr. Wright, what he's like. See, actually, you need to know yourself. God, the Word of God will reveal you to you. Then that way you're able to determine a suitable match for you because you now know yourself according to who your Creator says you are. Are you the way you're to be treated and what you want and your faith in God, it will affect your expectation of the man you will follow. Because see, the word says submit yourself. You won't just submit to anybody. So what this does, your faith will operate based on being found. The being found faith. Amen. Because the Word of God says if he's looking, you need to be found. Now, and I use the example of talking about Abraham, where Abraham, son Isaac, he wanted a suitable mate for Isaac. He sent the servants. Y'all go find a wife for my son. And they knew the son, they knew the father, and they knew his value system is worthy of the powerful man of God. And so, and they met this woman, amen, who was what? Rebecca. And they're like, this is the woman for him. And they could know it based on how her value system was on display. Oh, that's good. Never said that before. Her value system was on display. Some people can meet you in 10 minutes, they can tell you, you mean. I would use I say a mean what, but I'd be cussing if I say that. I can't put that in my message. They can tell, oh no, we don't want them to meet her. I mean, your value system is on display. How you answer, the way you answer, how you accommodate. Come on, somebody. And see the inward adorning of meek and quiet spirit, that kind of thing. Amen. Let it not be the outward appearance of braiding the hair, putting on the gold, although you can braid your hair and have a ring and all that. But that's not the primary emphasis. The emphasis is development of the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's in the Bible, these Bible verses. Amen. Of a meek and quiet spirit. But I'm saying have your faith to be found, because God's got a guy looking for you. He got a guy praying for you. But you want to determine how you want to live, how you want to be treated. Amen. So the man's got to show up with these qualities. God, see, in other words, you don't want to get it. You don't want to train him. You want God to train him and then send heaven find you. Can I get a witness? There are men that want to live a certain life. They want to live a certain life, a certain way, and it requires a certain kind of wife. A certain life requires a certain wife. If he's a man of God, he's releasing his faith, you know. He's releasing his faith for a certain life and a certain wife. So he's looking with the eyes of faith. So he sees, he's going to find you by faith. He'll look at you like a diamond. A diamond don't look like a diamond when it's laying around. You got to break through the covering and know you got a diamond. You won't know you have a diamond right away unless you trained in diamonds. See, God will show you, say, there she is. She's a diamond. If she work at Burger King, God, that's all right. She won't look like after $150,000 a year coming in, she won't look like a Burger King employee then. Not with the plan I got for you. You see what I'm saying? She's not going to stay the same in outward appearance. When you coming and you grounding in the Word, walking in your abundance and prosperity, her life going to change. What you're going to bring to the table is going to bring out what God has already put on the inside of her. Lord have mercy. I said, glory be to God. So you got to know how to look on the inside. Folk can do anything on the outside. Are you with me? Amen. I was in the store one time. I come to, I don't know what the store was, it was a grocery store. And the lady in the grocery store was so polished. She was so professional, I had to comment. Now, she ain't had the best hairdo and all that. I was going through the line. And her words, and I was maybe a few people back, her words and the way she interfaced with the people coming through the line, I think it was Winn-Dixie there, right? And the way she come through, I was amazed. I'm like, this woman is polished. What is she doing in the cashier line? I mean, I could pick it up right away. And so I was watching her like this. And I was like, I'm like, how did she get that polished? Is she working in Burger King line? Not Burger King, Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie. So she said, good afternoon. She said, this is Winn-Dixie. Good afternoon. How are you today? And then, you know, not talking to me, the people in front of me. How are you today? It's very, very nice outside, isn't it? And then she was saying some other stuff. I said, listen to that articulation. Listen to that diction she got. She looked like she ought to be in the corporate office. And so when I got up, and I don't know what I was buying, I got up to her. I said, "Miss, how long you been working here at Winn-Dixie?" "Oh, I've been here just a few months or whatever," she said. I said, "What did you do before you did this?" And she told me something. I said, "You won't be doing this long." She was that polished. Her attitude and her temperament, she was so positive. She was positive. She was polished. She was articulate. I mean, in a Winn-Dixie line. And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, somebody gonna come through here and hire you and take you to their corporate office." Amen. Because of the, I mean, you know, people coming through Winn-Dixie, there's only so much money moving at the cashier thing. Well, she was handling that thing, so I was so impressed. But what I'm saying to you, I said, some guy, I didn't know whether she was married or not. I wouldn't talk about marriage, but you can be found. God know how to find you. You'll go to church, go to the job with a bad attitude. God send the man right in your job. He'll be sitting right across the counter from you. Amen. I know that man. I know that man that, you know, so on there, but he married already. He used to be his wife, died a year before last. He ain't married no more. He come in here every day. I mean, I ain't saying nobody's wife down, but I'm saying all kind of things happen. You have to be ready. I'm talking to women now. You have to be ready to receive. Say, "I believe I receive." So what happens every time you leave your house? You know you have your faith operate. It's not just your lipstick. It's just your heart. Many guys live and say, "I done had a beauty queen before. I'm looking for some quality now." Oh, it's men out there. Yeah, you know that. You know, if he been married 5 times now, you need to kind of talk a little bit. Y'all definitely come to the premarital counselor. Are you with me? I better go on. I'm going to help your faith on this. But here's what I want to give you. Are y'all with me? Give me 5 minutes. This is what I want to do. I want to share with you because this is just getting ready for the marriage seminar. Now, this is for believers. Faith in God. Have faith in God. So having faith strategically, how to use your faith. Are you saying every time you leave the home, say, I'm leaving home today, God, and I trust that you according to your word, that you have the great man of God that's looking for me. I'm prepared to be found. I bet you ain't saying that. Yeah, you probably say, "Yeah, God, I'm already found, but I want you to work on that finder. I've been found already, but I'm leaving you for work on the finder, the one that found me." So we will come on. Can you say amen, somebody? All right, we got to go. I'm going to give you these points right here. And what this has to do, and all of that was kind of review from Wednesday. Get a copy of Wednesday's CD. Now, in the marriage relationship, and then how can I have a marriage, cover marriage, and don't cover in the marriage relationship? Now, there are some things. This is why you develop the agape love, develop the friendship love. Agape love can handle the tough stuff. It can handle it because all of it's not going to be hugs and kisses. You're not going to feel romantic all the time. You won't even feel friendly all the time. Although you ought to be. You ought to be positive enough to be friendly all the time with your wife. So it says, these things require tough love. You're going to have to give and take tough love. Tough decision because you're different from your wife. You are working some things out. Amen. So number one, you got to have a good image of self-worth.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the HEIR church.org.